Welcome to Seekers and Scholars, a podcast from the Mary Baker Eddy Library in Boston. I'm Jonathan Eder, your host. And the music you are listening to from Giacomo Puccini's Madama Butterfly is a signal to the focus of this episode, in which we will be discussing the story of the early 20th century opera star Marcella Kraft and its relation to the ongoing story of the significance of the soloist at the Mother Church and in Christian Science church services more generally. Our guests are Rivi Feinsilber, an archivist at the Mary Baker Eddy Library and author of an article on Marcella Kraft for the library's Women of History series.
In learning about Marcella Kraft, I wanted to learn more about the opera world. She was originally from Indiana, and at the age of 13 with her parents, she went to Riverside, California. And that's where her opera career really began. That's when she started singing and began training. So she went to Boston, and as we know, she stayed there for a few years training and also became soloist at the Mother Church.
Also with us is Bill Burden, who has been a frequent soloist at the Mother Church. He has had a decades-long career in opera. Bill has sung with a wide array of distinguished opera companies. To mention a few, they include the Metropolitan Opera, the San Francisco Opera, the Lyric Opera in Chicago, La Scala in Milan, Italy, the Staatsoper in Berlin, and at the Glyndebourne Festival in England. He teaches voice at the Juilliard School and at the Mann School of Music, the New School.
There's also a long-standing tradition amongst musicians that church work was an incredibly beneficial way to be able to both support your studies and to continue the work that you were doing.
Right.
So it would have been very natural for Marcella Kraft to have sought a church job. And in the developing relationship she had with Christian Scientists at that time, to be able to take on the role of soloist would have been a wonderful position.
And also with us is Cynthia Jean Patton, or Cindy Patton, by way of excerpts from her master's thesis on Marcella Kraft and opera in Riverside, California, 1932 to 1957, which she fulfilled for her Master of Arts degree in Music History and Literature from California State University, Fullerton. So, from the abstract of her thesis, quote, American soprano Marcella Kraft, 1874 to 1959, after receiving musical training in Riverside, California, moved to Boston in 1895, where she studied voice and sang professionally. In 1900, she moved to Europe, focusing principally on opera, first in theaters in small cities in Italy, and then in larger houses in Germany, particularly in Kiel, Mainz, and Munich. Kraft's career was notable on multiple accounts. As one of Richard Strauss's favorite interpreters of the title role in his opera Salome, and for her championing of the work in the United States. For her performance in the United States premiere of Mahler's Symphony No. 4, for her extensive U.S. recital career, and for her appearances with the San Carlo Opera, unquote. Also with us is Teddy Cresselius, another frequent Mother Church soloist, who also brings a strong background in theater and opera to his work. Teddy has participated as a director in the Glimmer Class Vestival Young Artist Program in Cooperstown, New York, taught on the music theater faculty at Mahidol University in Thailand, and staged operas in non-traditional settings under the company name Cottage Industry Theater. Some of you may know Teddy from an earlier Seekers and Scholars episode when he sang examples of compositions by Eliza Mazzucato Young, one of the first women composers to have an opera produced in the United States.
A Christian Scientist said to me once that the reason why all of the Bible is practical and useful is because it's all human experience. When you realize that, it's really the same with opera. It's all representing some facet of the universal human experience. And so certainly I think the content, even something like Salome, which as Bill said, particularly at the time would have been especially shocking, you know, because it comes out of universal experience, it makes perfect sense to apply one's spiritual outlook when you're approaching and trying to relate to the role.
So welcome, Rivi.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And welcome, Bill.
Hello. Nice to be here.
And welcome, Teddy.
Thanks. Such a pleasure.
And also welcome to Cindy. She can't be with us for the recording, but we have her blessing in reading from her manuscript. So, Rivi, what do we know about how it was that Marcella Kraft, then Marcia Kraft, she took the name of Marcella Kraft as a stage name, how it was that Miss Kraft came to Boston, and then how it was that she became one of the very first people to hold the position of soloist at the Mother Church at the Christian Science headquarters in Boston, Massachusetts?
She actually, and I got this from Miss Patton's thesis, that she fundraised money from wealthy business owners to get to Boston because Boston had more opportunities for opera singers. She was friend and patient of Laura Sargent, who was a practitioner of Christian Science healing. And she auditioned and she became soloist.
From Cindy Patton's thesis, I'd just like to share this quote because I think it brings us into how she got started at the Mother Church. Quote, in late 1897, Kraft auditioned successfully for the soprano soloist position at the Mother Church, First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, where founder Mary Baker Eddy officiated. Her contract for the year 1898, dated December 8, 1897, stipulated that she was to sing solos at each of the two services on Sundays and to perform with the choir during the Friday evening meetings. So this is really interesting, Rivi, in terms of the history of the development of the structure of Christian Science services, because she's about to get started in her role as a soloist at the Mother Church in 1898. And it's at that point that a lot of what's in that contract doesn't seem like it would apply any longer.
The biggest change from when she signed this contract to the subsequent years of her as soloist is the change in choir, which was abolished around the same time she became soloist. It was decided by Mary Baker Eddy and the board of directors that it would be congregational singing and a soloist.
I'd love to cite from something from the Christian Science Sentinel of June 8, 1899. And actually, it's giving this account from the Boston Herald. And it's so interesting to me, Rivi, Teddy, and Bill, how reporters from other Boston newspapers would regularly attend, or at least attend, important Christian Science services and write about them and publish these articles in the general press in Boston about what was going on. So this is from the Boston Herald, and it notes the following. In the choir gallery were the precentor, Mr. J. Melville Horner, and the soloist, Miss Marcia Kraft, while Mr. Charles Albion Clark presided at the organ. Miss Marcia Kraft sang with much feeling and expression the beautiful communion hymn of the denomination, Saw Ye My Savior, the words of which were written by Mrs. Eddy. So, Bill and Teddy, I'm curious, what do you think of when you hear about Marcella or then Marcia Kraft's experience at the 1899 communion service? And first of all, what's meant by the term precentor?
It's in many denominations a person who leads the singing. So in a Christian Science service as it is today, in a sense, that role's kind of been absorbed by the soloist and the organist in leading the singing.
Okay. So for you, when you're participating in a Christian Science service, you're performing these two roles, that of a soloist, but also somebody who's leading the congregation in its singing.
That's correct. A Christian Science church job is actually a very plumb position because it doesn't usually require too much rehearsal time, and it is an opportunity to hone one's skills as a singer in particular. So that sort of job would have been very sought after.
Mm-hmm. It makes me want to ask you, Rivi, because it's in your article, what did it mean for Marcella to have this job? Not just because it helped support her in advancing her career, but what did it mean for her personally as well as professionally?
So being a soloist for the Mother Church not only, as you said, allowed her to develop her voice and give her the technical work, as she said, to prepare her for better and broader work, but also to help her spiritually. We do have evidence that Mrs. Eddy was informed that, as it says, Miss Craft is deeply interested in Christian Science and takes our textbook with her when she travels. Mm. So it was very much definitely a part of her. And as we'll see, she traveled a lot, going to many different countries and opera houses. So it seems that that was her constant.
Yeah. And, you know, from Miss Patton's thesis, it seemed that when people were writing about her, giving reviews, that sometimes they did identify her as a Christian Scientist. For example, this from the Continental Times, August 10th, 1907. The Continental Times was an English language newspaper in Germany. It gives the following commentary, quote, "Miss Marcella Craft, the American girl who sang in Traviata at Kroll's last Saturday, was received with great enthusiasm. The audience was largely composed of musicians. Miss Craft is a Christian Scientist, and a large number of scientists were present," unquote. So it's interesting that they called that out in the review. But Teddy and Bill, I'm so interested in this Boston Herald report when they say she sang the communion hymn, "Saw Ye My Savior" by Mary Baker Eddy, a very sacred work with much feeling and expression. That is interesting that that's observed considering this bylaw for music in church services for the Christian Science Church and its church manual. It reads, quote, "The music in the Mother Church shall not be operatic, but of an appropriate religious character and of a recognized standard of musical excellence. It shall be played in a dignified and suitable manner." I'm curious, when you approach a solo, how do you combine those qualities of dignity and an appropriate religious character with what's being identified in her presentation of something that delivers much feeling and expression? Is that difficult to do, to bring those things together, considering those directives?
As I reflect on choosing a solo for a service, I always go from the text, mm-hmm. which would then afford me the opportunity to try and put that text forward in a dignified and properly religious way. I also believe with all my heart that the addition of music to appropriate text transforms that text in a way that is emotional and heartfelt and spiritual and touches people in ways that text alone does not. Mm-hmm. I think it's why movies have scores and why the art form of opera is so powerful, because it is the collaborative effort of all the other performing arts in one. There's movement, there's costuming and staging and acting, all tied together with incredible music that moves an audience, even if the language being sung is foreign to them. Mm-hmm. And so the bylaw makes perfect sense to me in that we take text that we all might be incredibly familiar with. Certainly students of Christian